Dor completely bails on the rookies. Ivor runs over a herd of cattle with his dash cam, and Josh takes out his frustrations on a bunch of chickens in this week's installment of Android App Addicts.
Hey, Podnutians. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 548. The podcast all about Android applications, Android news, Android kerfuffles, and all things regarding the mobile operating system. This week's episode is brought to you by Darth Anthony, a very longtime supporter of Podnuts and all around nice guy. Been a supporter of this network for, it looks like, over 3 years. Yeah, I'm going to say nearly 4 years is what I'm going to say. So thank you very much, Darth Anthony, for all the support. And if you would like to support this podcast directly and help us not have to worry about having ads on the show, you too can go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts. This week we are joined by Ivor and Josh. How is everything going, Ivor?
Fantastic, Dor. I have to say I had steak for breakfast this morning and it was everything I could have imagined.
That's a good breakfast. Hey.
Yeah, but fantastic.
Very cool. Do you put any sauces on your steak, or are you a sauceless kind of guy?
I do not. I am a salt and pepper man, and that's it. Yeah. It's the only thing that goes near my steak.
I believe if the steak needs more than that, then you need to get yourself a better steak.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
And then the meat lover himself, Josh, how's everything going, man?
It's going well, Dor. That's an interesting title. I've never heard that before, I don't think, but... I had steak for supper, so that's interesting. Also, had the 2 1-year-old toddlers again on my own today.
Ooh, any ticks?
Only ticks that I developed. But I mean, having them running around, well, one of them crawling around, one of them running around. So, you know, obviously there's poopy pants, so I had to change that. And then I also had to deal with the baby's trousers as well, so... Yeah, that was my day.
I guess it could be worse. You showed us a picture last week of like a meat compartment. I don't know how to put it. Where there was a whole different range of types of meats being, I believe, smoked.
Oh, yes.
Just looked delicious.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Today I put in 2 pork shoulder roasts into the slow cooker with some herbs and spices and some other things to make pulled pork, which I will... do tomorrow. And also no sauces on the steak. A little bit of salt and pepper before the barbecue and I'm good to go.
That's all you need.
Yeah, I will say I did watch this one. I rarely watch YouTube videos. One YouTube video that I was sent was a guy taking the cheapest possible cut of beef they could find. And they were trying 3 different things: dry aging it, salt and pepper, or letting it marinate in basically a completely minced, and there goes my network connection, didn't it? Yeah, my network connection went crazy again, didn't it? I take that as a
I'm
yes.
Sure, whatever you were saying sounds fantastic, though.
Barbecue is always good.
Yeah, so barbecue, the smoker, and I've sort of taken to this pulled pork. You can get two pretty good-sized pork shoulders roasts from Costco for about... $20 to $25.
Yeah, it's very cheap these days. Yeah, it's cheap here as well.
Put it in there and we'll cook it for 8 hours. And oh man, now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry. Jonas in the chat is saying, try the rainbow pepper on steak. It's a good mix-up. I'd like to know more about this rainbow pepper. I've never heard of it. BW is saying, I have a great sound. Thank you, BW Electronic. I'd like to know your first name so I can stop calling you BW's Electronic, but thank you. I have been working long and hard with Josh on improving the audio, so it's at least better than last week. So my apologies for that. And then we got B. Lawson saying it's a super lazy solution, Montreal steak, seasoning, primarily salt, pepper, and some garlic. Now, garlic is one thing I will accept. What about you, Josh? Are you putting garlic on your steak?
Every once in a while, but mainly it is just salt and pepper, dry rub on there. And yep.
Here we go. Jonas has come back saying it's a mix of black, green, pink, and white pepper. Wow. I have to try that. You could always buy your own and mix it how you like. Yes. I have to try and source some of that locally, I think.
I've never done a taste test between like white and black pepper, or pink pepper for that matter.
Yeah. I never really went much into for white pepper. I've always just done the cracked pepper, and that's it. Anyway, stop. It's not the barbecue podcast.
Could be. Why not? Let's do it.
Talk about some Android apps. So I've just been sorting out. Josh and I had a. Red. BW, your name is Red. Okay, I'll call you Red. Thanks, Red. Yeah, I've been sorting out microphone issues. Basically, the problem last week was I was running on a very crappy Wi-Fi connection running through this adapter, which only had a very low bandwidth allowance, so it wasn't very good. But the audio for the podcast was actually okay, so I'm glad of that. One thing I did do, Josh, is we were talking about LastPass and password managers in last week, and I have now switched over to 1Password. And I have to say, it is a lot better than LastPass.
Oh, so?
Mainly in the Android app. The Android app is just there when you need it. I don't get these multiple prompts. It doesn't stop working when you want it to be working. It just works. It's really good. And the on the desktop, the web interface is actually a lot cleaner, a lot smoother, than a lot more polished than what you see on LastPass. And there's quite a lot more options. There's a lot more security options as well. You get this 26 or 30 character security key that it's your one-time access password. And with LastPass, you only have a 7-character password, but with 1Password, you have to have a 9-character password to get into it. So overall, I think it's a lot more secure. And I've found that on my phone, my Huawei phone, it actually works a hell of a lot better. And so if you're having troubles getting LastPass to work, check out 1Password. It costs the same as LastPass. At the moment, I'm doing, I think, a 30-day free trial.
Well, they don't have a free tier, though?
Not that I could tell. I think they do, but I couldn't see it on my app, so I'll go back and have a look.
And they also have the option to export a CSV file.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's the first thing I did was I exported the CSV file from LastPass and then just drag and drop onto the web interface, and it sucked it all up, and I had exactly the same passwords and everything set up in my 1Password, just ready to go. It took about 2 minutes.
Nice. Yeah, that's huge. I mean, you can see, you know, nobody's going to change their password manager if you have to manually move over passwords and usernames.
No. You know, I had over 460 odd passwords. There's no way I was just going to have to re-enter those manually. Yeah.
So I would like to thank Michael Sanders, who sent in an email this last week from the previous show, basically just complimenting us on our humor and wit. I don't remember completely if there was anything about our dashing good looks, but if there wasn't, there should be. But thank you, Michael, for sending that in. And if anybody else wants to send any feedback or app suggestions or any other type of correspondence, the email is aaa@podnuts.com. So that's 3 A's. aaa@podnuts.com is for something completely different.
I've got a Firewaller update as well. I've been successfully using that after all the teething problems were sorted out. My son has been having issues watching YouTube videos particularly. Basically he would be able to access the YouTube site, but he went to the PewDiePie site and there were no videos available for him to watch. There's just no videos there. And on PewDiePie's site, you think there would be something for him to watch there. And he was having all sorts of other problems watching video on other sites and other devices. So I took all the, monitoring off on the Firewaller, and everything worked again. So I couldn't understand that. Then I put all the same monitoring back on again, and everything was still worked. So I don't know. Don't know what the problem was there, but
it just comes back to the old adage: did you turn it off and turn it back on again?
Well, that's exactly what I did. I went and turned it off and turned it back on again, and it worked again. So yeah, you got. He likes his YouTube videos. He got a bit upset because he couldn't watch them.
Anything in particular he's into?
Weird stuff. He's like, he likes to watch people playing games of, you know, various games.
I'd reckon that means video games. I think that's probably.
Video games.
I don't think there's as many like Scrabble channels or like Chutes and Ladders channels or something like that on Facebook.
Yeah, no, I don't think he'd be into that. He makes his own stop motion videos, and he has got his own YouTube channel where he publishes his stop motion videos. They're quite funny sometimes. Yeah,
I wish I had any creativity at all.
Yeah, well, he's very creative with technology. He'll give him a cell phone, and he'll do all sorts of things with it.
And I see that Dora's back with us.
Dora's back.
I don't know for how long. I don't know what was going on there.
How are you doing, Dora? What's new with you?
Well, what's new with me is you told me to bring a quote from my youngest son, so I'm going to first bring a quote before my network goes crazy again. Tonight for dinner, he asked if he could have shrimp. And when I asked him why did he want to have shrimp for dinner, he said, well, it's, for their own good. And I was like, well, what do you mean for their own good? I thought he was going to say because they're tasty or whatever. He said, well, because before you cook them, they're all gray and they kind of look like they're suffering from crippling depression. So I'm just, taking them out of their misery.
Skip logic.
And that's my kid. And that's, I guess, how he thinks. I don't know. I mean, I never know what to expect, but that's what he said. So we ordered him shrimp fried rice.
Oh, you went out for dinner?
Ordered Chinese, and I went and picked it up.
What do you eat, being a keto type of person from a Chinese restaurant?
Egg drop soup is about the only thing I can eat and not worry, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is, but it's okay. So did you guys go into any news articles yet?
No, we were just sort of catching up a little bit from last week and waiting for our fearless leader to return.
Well, I mean, so far it seems like it's okay.
Oh, I was referring to Mark.
Yeah, Mark, don't hold your breath is what I'll say.
No, but if you'd like to bring a news article, I'm all in.
Well, I'll say this. The one news article that at least caught my attention, because it was the kind of thing I did not expect to hear, was the fact that Google worldwide is now the number three smart speaker in the smart speaker market. They've officially dropped to number three. And that's because Baidu launched a very, very cheap, affordable smart speaker. I want to say it only cost $20 US dollars. And because of that, literally in like the last 3 months, the number of smart speakers they sold was like insane, like four times more than anybody in that same time period. So as the world goes, Google will go, because all Google cares about is mass numbers of connections. So if they continue to fall in number of sales, don't be shocked if in 2 years or so, we don't have any more Google smart speakers to buy.
Yeah, I saw the headline in this and I thought, oh, Google's number three. Who's number two? Because, Amazon's number one. But and then I was quite surprised to see that Baidu has a 3,700% increase in sales in the last year.
Yeah, they went insane. And here's one of the things that is the real thing. In other parts of the world, size matters greatly. The smaller, the more compact the device, the more likely it is for someone to buy, because they don't have sprawling, 6,000 plus foot homes like some of people in the first world do. And the Baidu speaker, I want to say, was only like 3 inches by 3 inches by a half an inch. It was so small. So because of its size and price, its sales numbers went completely crazy. And Alibaba and Xiaomi are two other companies that are seeing reasonable increases in their sales. And basically the only one showing a decline in growth is Google. And to be honest, them shifting names from Google over to Nest is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. When Microsoft puts Microsoft on something, sales diminish. When Google takes the word Google off products, sales diminish. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that, but apparently when you have the most PhDs in the world working for you, you don't realize that.
Man, Dora, I gotta say, you're almost as bad as I was last week. I didn't catch half of what you just said.
Well, you know, I'll just say this. I sat in on a Google interview and spoke quite frankly, and they didn't appreciate what I said. So I'm still a government employee.
This good website news. I mean, it's TechCrunch. I haven't been there in a while, apparently. It's interesting. As you scroll down through the article, up in the right corner is a circle with an X in it. And as you go down, there's a line that goes around the outside of the circle and then connects to itself once you're done with the article. And if you keep scrolling just slightly down further, it actually changes the page to a different page that's just full of articles. You can't even see that Google article anymore. You have to actually go back in the browser in order to see the article you were just reading.
Yeah.
I was having trouble with that.
That's presumptuous.
When I was reading that.
Well, it's a mobile first design is what I'm going to say, to maximize viewing with as few clicks as possible is their logic. I too despise it and think it's a horrible way to do it. But they at least try to communicate it to you with that little icon in the top right, but I don't think it's clear enough for especially normal folk.
Have you seen this before?
I've seen it on this site for about a month. There was like one or two other sites in the last week when I realized if you scroll down too far and then scroll up, you basically lost all content and you gotta exit and come back to find your way back again. One of them was, I want to say, Giz China, which is a very hyper focused on the Asian market website. I can't remember what the other one was.
I have one more question for you, Dora, real quick. Is that a Maynard's hat you're wearing?
It's a Menards hat, yes, and it was one of the gifts I got from Eric.
Yeah, that's what totally reminded me of Eric.
Yeah. So I proudly, at least once a month, I wear it, you know, because
it makes a change from the Podnuts hat, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's just changing things up. I really didn't have any. Well, I only had one other, I'll say, news type link, and it was only and it only caught my eye because right now I think we're almost at the beginning, the precipice of open wars. And what I mean is, we're having companies seeing who can outdo each other by releasing things to open markets, open source markets, free Libra open source markets, and a Google open sources its live transcribe speech engine. And I'll say this, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, back with the Google 411 days, the Google live transcription engine has gotten insanely better. And if they actually open source this, which is what the article says over at VentureBeat, if they actually open sourced this, this is actually really big news, because that means developers will be able to pull down a fraction of the code that they used to, is what I'll say, pull it down into their program and then have live transcription possible. And it isn't insanely accurate. It isn't, because nothing is, but it's easily 80% accurate, is what I'll say.
Does this mean that you can set up your own web-based server? I mean, is that kind of
the beginning of it? This should allow that to be possible. As far as I know, it's not done yet, but this is at least opening the door to being able to have a server or service that you have access to that no one else has access to, not Google, not Amazon, not Apple, and you can do live transcriptions of a good quality, where right now everything you transcribe goes up to the cloud.
It's the Babel Fish.
Exactly.
Well, this is fantastic. I think this, yes, open source everything. I'm in.
Yeah,
I saw an interesting news article earlier, mm-hmm. Dor, if you got it. It's the Huawei Mate 30 is going to launch without Google apps or services. Mm-hmm. I'll just put the link in here. Just put the link in the chat. Yeah, so I was quite surprised when I saw this, because it looked like that America was going to relent and let Huawei use Google apps and services, but it looks like they've doubled down now. Gone the other way, and Huawei's now made the decision to go without Google. So whether this means they're going to be advancing their Hongmen new operating system is, I'm not sure, but it's obviously going to have a version of Android. But how it's going to look and function is another matter.
Yeah, I mean, Huawei outside of the U.S. has enough gumption, has enough power to go to leading developers and say, recompile your application to against this operating system to not rely on the Google Play services back engine so we can have it on our operating system. They have enough power to do that to a certain percentage of applications. Now, what we don't know is what is the magic number, what is the magic percentage that they can hit, where if they have a percentage of applications that people are used to running on the Android, working on their app store, how much is enough to make that a success? This Mate 30 might be nothing more than just a test for them to see, you know, how far they can get, how much success they can get. But I will say this, this is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of Android becoming like the
splintered
Windows operating system for mobile kind of thing, where it's beginning, it has a chance to become irrelevant. If we as a country, the United States, keeps pushing other countries away, pushing other competition down and not encouraging competition, companies like Android, Google will become the losers in these competitions. And companies like Huawei will become the victors in these kinds of circumstances. I will say this. I, as a mature Android user, find that I really don't need insane numbers of applications, but I do have a number of applications I need on my device. And if I do not have those on my device, it is unusable.
Yes, absolutely.
And it really isn't a lot. Maybe between 8 or 10 applications is all I really have to have. Anything above that is just a convenience. I really hope that all this is going to encourage more competition and encourage them to innovate more and encourage Google to innovate more and encourage Apple to innovate more and hopefully encourage other companies to, you know, step up and try to do more things. I love the sound of this is what I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people in China are already used to just not having Google services. They have their own versions of the stuff that Google already does. So I imagine the Huawei won't have any trouble selling to them. It's just if they try and sell any of their phones outside of China without Google apps or services, they're not going to sell many.
Well, this article though, it's sort of the opposite, I think, of what you guys are talking about. As far as the way that it's structured here, it's not Huawei saying no to Google; it's Google saying no to Huawei. That's a different.
Yeah, they haven't got much choice.
Yeah, that's a different fish. If they actually do stick with this White House banning U.S. companies from doing business with the Chinese telecommunications firm. So, I mean, if that's the case, then they're really going to have to push their own operating system a lot faster than maybe they wanted to.
Yeah. But in some respects, Huawei has made its own bed. It has got a reputation for industrial espionage and intellectual property, as do a lot of other Chinese companies. I think in some respects the U.S. is absolutely right to say no more. They've got to put their foot down somewhere.
Well, it is their right, but you know, I think it's a two-way street. I don't think it's only the Chinese companies that are playing these games.
But the Chinese companies and Huawei in particular have a really bad reputation, and they've been caught doing all sorts of nasty stuff to steal secrets. So it's not exactly unknown. It's well known that they do this.
I think in the States, it's more, you know, if you're going to be spying on your users, we want the data and we don't want you to ship it back to China.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that surprised me about Dawes' article on those speakers. You know, if Baidu is the number two home speaker, you know, I think the Chinese would be a little bit hesitant about having a recording device in their home 24/7.
No, in fact,
especially with their government.
Well, I'll just say this: if you look at Russians believe if you struggle, that makes you stronger, and that's what they do. They struggle a lot. They're Russians. That's what they do. And there goes my bandwidth connection, didn't it? Yeah, I take that as a yes.
It's coming through.
Are you still there, Ivor?
Okay, well, yeah, I'm still here. How about we do an app while we're waiting for Dor to get reconnected?
I can see your mouth moving, but you're muted.
Sorry, yeah, take the mic off. Again, I always forget that. How about we do an app?
Sure. You want
to? An app?
You want me to go first? You caught me off guard here, buddy. You have one queued up, and I'll queue up the next one.
Yeah, I'll go one. I'll go one. Okay, so in October in Japan, New Zealand is going to be competing in the Rugby Football World Cup. Now, I know most Americans don't have much of an idea about what rugby is, but it's very similar to American football, except you're not allowed to make a forward pass, and you're not allowed to tackle anybody without the ball. And that's pretty much the basic difference between American football and
some people and rugby. Would disagree with that, Ivor.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to
get into the nuances of the game later.
So I'm posting the link here. This is the Rugby World Cup app, and it gives you basically all the information on all the teams that are competing in the Rugby World Cup next month, in October. In Japan. United States is competing as well. I think their first match is against France. But this app is really good. It gives you video highlights of previous World Cups. In case anybody didn't realize, New Zealand has actually won the last three World Cups in a row.
All Blacks.
The All Blacks, and we're favored to win again this year. But anything could happen. Our first match is against South Africa. So rugby is something that New Zealanders take very, very seriously, and along with Wales and Australia and England and South Africa. So the top teams you want to be looking for are New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, Wales, and England. The Pacific Island groups have been coming up lately, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa. And then you've also got Argentina is a very strong contender this year. They've been improving. Wales is actually number one in the world at the moment. So they've been doing really well. I, for one, will certainly be enjoying the live streams of New Zealand matches in October, and be using this app to help me through it.
The irony of that whole thing was that I only have one jersey of anything to my name, and it is actually a Welsh national rugby jersey, which was given to me by a Welsh gentleman while I was in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Well, that's a strange story.
Yes. Well, this
was there a rugby event he was there for?
No. It was. I don't think so. I only knew them for a couple of days. It was at a hostel. I was there for. I think I was staying there for a couple of weeks, and this group of three or four guys came in. And there was already a bunch of Dutch people there, and I thought, wow, there's more, more Dutch people. And then the more I was listening, and I started to hear some semi-English words, and then I thought, you know what, I think they are speaking some sort of bastardized English. And then, yeah, it turns out that they were Welsh.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've just been going through this World Cup app, seeing what the games are, when they're going to be played. They've got lots of video highlights. Actually, would you like to see a video highlight from an old World Cup match?
Does that make great radio or what?
I can share my screen.
Do you have a link for that app as well?
Show it to you. Yeah, I've put it in the chat.
Which chat are you in, Ivor?
In the YouTube chat.
We must be in different chats.
I'll put it in this one as well. Yeah, we had this problem last week as well. The links weren't showing up in the YouTube chat. Oh, there it is. I can see it in my version of the chat.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. We'll leave that. You do your app.
All right. Sounds good. My app is called Over the Bridge Pro. According to this, it's $2.39 in Canada to buy. It's by Little Big Play. It's word education on puzzle games. It has an average of 3.7 on reviews out of 98. Last updated February 21st, 2019, 9.3 megs in size, installs 10,000 plus. And this is a pretty simple game where there are basically just platforms, and you tap the screen and you have this little man, little person, and he ends up basically holding a stick, and so it grows straight up, and when you let go, it falls, and so all you're trying to do is get between the two platforms on the screen. So you're trying to judge the horizontal distance while using the vertical distance, which I don't know if that made any sense, but yes.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're making a bridge. It's called Over the Bridge. So you're...
Over the Bridge. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
And so basically the stick goes up and then it falls down. And if it doesn't make it to the other one, your little guy runs across and falls into the abyss. Or if it goes too far over the other platform, then your guy runs off and falls into the abyss. It's actually quite sad. And so then, yes, you're just moving from one to another, and they obviously change distances between. So, and then you get a score. Every time you make it from one to the other, you get, oddly enough, a point.
I've just shared my screen. Here's a video of the... Oh, no, video's not too good. Sorry, but here's a game of rugby, in case you've never seen one before. This guy, number 11, is Jonah Lomu. He's New Zealand's most famous rugby player. He died a few years ago, actually. Had a kidney problem. That's one of his most famous tries.
Okay, awesome.
Anyway, carry on.
No, I think unless you have any pressing questions on that app, I think it's... We'll pass it back to you for the next one.
Okay, cool. I've seen those bridge building apps before and had a go at them. They're quite fun sometimes.
Yeah, it was fun. I think I, you know, managed to get 30 or 40, and then it shows you who has the highest, and it's 170. And so I said, all right, that's enough for me. If I can't be the best, I don't want to play it.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, this is another game. This game is called Make Hexa. Now, there are lots of Hexa games available on the Play Store, but this one's a fairly old one. See, I'll send this link to you on the chat, and I'll also put it in my YouTube chat. And again, I'll try sharing my screen to show you how it works. Just a moment. Okay, so this game here has a bunch of shapes, and you have to make... The idea is to make as many hexagons of the same color as possible. So you do that by moving these shapes into the grid, and you can move them around like that and place them. Every time you place a shape, it creates another space for another one. And you just keep going like this. You can move the shapes around and put them in, and it is extremely addictive. And once you do actually make a shape, it disappears, and then... the shape you've made actually disappears, and you get some points, and then you get space freed up to make another one. So
it's almost like a two-dimensional Tetris, or a top view Tetris.
It's a two-dimensional Tetris. Yeah. It's really good. My daughter and I spend a lot of time playing this, and she, of course, manages to beat me. Of course, there are a few ads. She beats me every time. A few ads associated with it as well, and I think there's a version you can pay to remove the ads, but they're not that bad. I spent a lot of time playing this.
Yeah, so it's all based in triangles, and you're given different parts of a hexagon, whether that's two or three separate sides, and you have to make them all fit together. I like it. That's fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's a good time killer as well if you need to. Waste some time.
I saw that there. It looked like that short amount of time you just played, you had 1,500 points. Is that your high score?
Yeah. No. I don't know what my high score is. I don't care about high scores. My daughter got up to 20,000 once, and that was it. I stopped keeping track of high scores.
Right. I only like high scores when I'm the one.
You got another one there?
I do. This one, are you getting the ones I put into? I think we're on two different streams somehow. Interesting.
Yeah.
This one is called, so I'll put it in our chat here as well. I don't really know what it's called. I'm going to say Fifox. and it's by RWTH Aachen University, I'm guessing. And it's education. It's an average of 4.8 on the reviews out of 2,443. 6.2 megs in size, 500,000 plus installs. Last updated July 28th, 2019. Requires Android 4.0 and up. And so a lot of this I don't understand necessarily, but it's called Fifox Physical Phone Experiments. And so it uses your phone sensors in order for you to carry out experiments. There's the first one is using raw sensors, and it has an acceleration without G, so you get raw data from so-called linear accelerometer. And so you can just...
So what's it called again? Is it Fifox? Like as
Fifox,
in the browser?
Fifox, P-H-Y-P-H-O-X.
Oh, okay.
And right.
Yep. And so you can... The idea is you do different experiments virtually.
Well, yes. You use the sensors in your phone to do the experiment. So you can determine how much light is available right now, and has a... You can get pressure from the barometer. And then you can do acoustics as well, and sonar, and like an oscilloscope, audio spectrum,
sonar,
Doppler effect.
Have you tried the sonar?
What's that?
Have you tried the sonar?
No, I haven't. I tried the acceleration, the gyroscope, and this isn't a full list of what you can do either. And then a few other ones. There's a tilt and things like that, and you can use it to determine angles. So I think it would be quite fun for children of all ages, and it kind of gives you an idea as to how powerful the little piece of hardware that's sitting in your pocket actually is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's incredible these days. Yeah. I should have to run this past the kids, see what they think.
Definitely. I'd be interested to hear about that as well. Somebody that's smarter than I am could probably have a lot more fun than even I could.
Okay, I have another app. It's called Autoboy Dashcam Black Box. Sorry, I don't know if you've ever bought one of those dash cameras for your car and tried to have them stuck onto your windscreen.
No, I've never bought a specific dash cam. I've bought some knockoff GoPros, but never anything that's a dash cam per se.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, we have crazy drivers in this country. So I was experimenting with a couple of different dash cams that I ordered from places like Gearbest or Banggood. And they were all really crappy, and they didn't work very well, if they did work at all. Or if they'd worked, they'd only work for like a couple of days and then they'd stop working. And then I thought, oh, well, why don't I just get a, use my phone on a mount and, just take audio with that. And I found I tried a couple of different dashboard apps or dash cam apps, that I found in the app store. But, this one, Autoboy Dash Cam, seems to have all the features that you could really want. It does a really good job of both, capturing your video feed on your dashboard. You can upload it directly to YouTube. You can set different recording resolutions. You can record in full HD if you want. You can what else does it enable you to do? When I open it, it will allow me to say, okay, well, once I open the dash cam, it will open a different app. Like so I'll open my navigation app at the same time. So once I only need to push one button. And it does a really, really good job of recording everything, and it doesn't take up much memory on your device either. So I find this a really effective solution to buying an expensive dash cam app that really just doesn't work.
Are you using it on your primary device, or are you using a secondary phone to do it?
Sorry, you have to repeat that. You're breaking up again.
Are you using your primary device, or are you using a secondary phone to do it?
Oh, I'm using my primary phone. Yeah. It's a good idea to use. You could use a secondary phone. It works on very low resolutions as well. So if you have a camera, phone that hasn't got a very good camera, then it would still work fine. But every time I go into the settings, there's all sorts of new features that I didn't know it could do. So you can actually spend a lot of time playing around with it and and it's very easy to transfer the files off your phone onto your computer or anything like that.
It seems like a good use of an older phone that you have laying around and have.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be a good use for an old phone.
And I was also noticing on it, it says that it has automatic backup to YouTube.
Yeah, you can back up or upload them straight to YouTube if you want. I haven't tried that, but
that's, I guess that's a handy feature.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you would want to do that in case, I suppose, if there's something weird that you come across.
Exactly. Hey, you know,
you can upload it to YouTube.
You never know when you're going to be the one that puts out that next viral video.
Oh, exactly. Yes. I came across a whole bunch of cows on the road before yesterday. So I'm not sure how much interest people would have in that on YouTube. Cows on the road.
That's New Zealand for you, I guess.
Oh, yeah, sheep on the road. Yeah, cows are something else. Yeah.
Cows are special.
Cows are special. Show title right there. Cows are special.
Nice. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I guess I just never, I just haven't had a desire to have a dash cam. I don't do much video at all, really. Well, I guess, you know, like baby videos and things like that. But
I suppose I'm just a bit paranoid. You know, if I get involved in an accident or a minor crash, it's good to have that video footage there to see what actually happened. It does GPS tracking as well, so you can go back and see exactly where on the map you were at that particular point in time. So it'll show you your GPS and your video track side by side. Hmm. Yeah, it's got all the bells and whistles, and it's
How
really
do you
good.
Mount it?
I have a arm that's stuck to the windscreen on the lower right hand side of the windscreen, and it just clicks in there, and it is a bit shaky. For some reason, my video doesn't have optical image stabilization. But generally, yeah, the video recordings are pretty good. Cool. Over to you.
All right. This, actually, I downloaded today because the little rug rat that I was babysitting, who is not my responsibility full-time, has just started walking. And I did take video of him as he took a couple steps, and I wanted to share that with his parents. And we have a chat group, SMS group going. And so the video I took was only 20 or 30 seconds, but it was, you know, 50 megs in size, and there's no way that it was going to be allowed.
Yeah, you're not sending that via SMS.
And so I thought there's got to be one of those. There's got to be a compressor. I've never looked for a video compressor as an app. And so I came across this one, and I managed to get it down to 80K, I think, or 800K, and sent it, That's without an issue. I actually compressed it twice, but there might be a setting that you can compress it all the way down to that size from the get-go. But the app is called Video Compressor Panda, Resize and Compress Video by Farlunar Apps and Games. It's rated everyone and has an average of 4.6 per reviews out of 37,720. And it was last updated April 7th, 2019. It's 14 megs in size with 500,000 plus installs. And it was very straightforward. I clicked on the video and then went through the automated steps, and it just compressed it, and then it asked me where I wanted to put it on my phone, and that was it. Done. Simple. Good to go. It probably has other features as well, which I don't really know, because, like I said, I only used it once, but it worked exactly how I needed it to, and I will be using it definitely in the future. So I don't know. Have you ever compressed videos on your phone to send?
No, not on my phone. No, I've not played around too much with video compression on a computer even. So yeah, to do it on a phone is impressive. Although I'm no expert in the art. So yeah, sounds great. You can actually take a message, a video clip and compress it right down so you're able to send it. Are you able to send it as a link or as a file?
As a file.
As a file attachment itself.
As a file.
As a file over SMS. Wow, that's really good. Yeah, I probably could have used something like this when our kids were younger. But I'm not sure. Yeah, I suppose I could use it now on the cat.
You know, that's a great idea. That might be an exit strategy, is maybe you start putting cat videos on YouTube. I bet no one's ever done that before.
Oh, yeah. I bet there's a market for that.
Maybe streaming video games. Oh, we're onto something here. I almost feel young okay. And hip.
Just listen to some ABBA.
Speaking of which, Ivor, do you know what the best-selling album of all time in New Zealand is?
Oh, let me guess. Is it something to do with a Swedish band?
It certainly is. It happens to be ABBA's greatest hits.
ABBA's greatest hits. That was a fantastic album. I'm not surprised it's number one.
This is why there are cows wandering the streets of New Zealand.
This is why there are cows wandering the streets, yep. All right, time for another app, I think.
If we have to.
Okay, I got one more. I got just another Economist app, actually. Economist have come out with a whole slew of really cool apps, actually. And this one is pretty good. It's basically a bunch of what's an app that shows you a bunch of films, and it's basically The Economist is quite a prolific filmmaker of short documentary clips. Like they're, I think, on average between 8 and 15 minutes. And they cover all sorts of varied and interesting topics. And this particular app, I have been able to watch lots of videos on it, and I haven't had to pay a cent. So, although I think there is also a paid tier that you can go to, which allows you to download them or something like that. But this particular app is really interesting. It has a focus on international. It does climate change, if you're interested in that. It does really informative films, short films on all sorts of topics. And I would recommend, if anyone's got some time sitting at a bus stop or something, or on a train waiting to get to work, you could watch one of these or two of these videos and improve your knowledge about the world and that sort of thing. How it works.
When you're waiting for the cows to cross the street.
Or when you're waiting for the cows to finally get across
Does
the street.
Does this app have a name?
Sorry, yes. It's called Economist Films, and it's released by The Economist Newspaper Limited. I have put the link in the chat, but I will put it in the Hangouts chat as well. Go. It's a 4.2 rating. It was updated on the 24th of October. There's 100,000 plus installs, requires Android 4.1 and up, is rated for 3 plus. I've been really impressed with it. The video quality is actually very good, high definition videos, and very high levels of production standard. So well worth an install and a look for an hour or two.
Is there anything in particular that you've seen?
Nothing that comes to mind, actually, at the moment. It was a couple of days ago that I watched it, and my memory's not that great. I do mean to actually go back and go through it and have a look, see what else they've got.
So you seem to be a bit of a pundit for The Economist.
Well, they should be giving me money, really.
Yeah,
no,
I'm sure they're not.
Well, it's because I installed one of their other apps last week that I bought to the last week's show, and this one was recommended as a result. So, yeah, they've got quite a lot of apps in the Play Store that are really, really well done, really good production values.
Yeah, that's a big operation.
Yeah, it's been going for hundred years at least as well. So it's got a lot of tradition there.
It seems like a New York.
Yeah, I think they are based in New York. Yeah.
Although this is the this app is the United Kingdom, so maybe it is a.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's in the United Kingdom. Yeah, sorry. But I think they have an office in New York as well.
Yeah, they probably have them all over the world. If you're going to take over the world, you've got to have offices all over the world.
Very true. What do you think's happened to Dor?
Oh, he's probably eating pizza and drinking beer.
Sitting back and watching the live stream and laughing at us.
All right, I will. I've got another app here.
I just got Dora in the chat room. He's saying he's added you and me as mods, and that should help with the URL issue.
Wow, I've never been a model before.
Yeah.
Assuming that.
Was it Bald Monthly? Bald Head Monthly?
Cue Ball Monthly.
Canadian apologist.
This one is one that I actually sent to you a couple days ago. And this may be the best app that's ever been created for Android or any other platform. It's called Chicken Tournament. And it is, well, get in on it now because it is free, usually $4. And it's by Sascha Lusiak.
Sascha.
Okay. I
think Sascha Lusiak. Oh.
It is rated teen and it is categorized as action. And it has average reviews of 4.5 out of 257. And last updated May 18th, 2019, 5 megs in size, 10,000 plus installs. And the content rating is teen because of violence and blood. And there is both of those in this game. And it is chicken blood that I've seen. I'm not sure if, because you can, Ivor, this game is so in-depth. You can be a chicken or a farmer. So, you know, I don't know what else you want from a game. But the way that I've been playing it is as the farmer, and you can have a death match or you can have a career mode. And so basically, you got to kill the chickens, man. You got to kill the chickens. That is the point. And you start off with your bare hands. I'm not even sure. I tried to kill chickens with bare hands, couldn't do it. But then there are other apparatus going from a golf club, which doesn't automatically kill the chickens, but it does launch the chickens. And if you launch them into the side of a building, a tree, or the outside of basically the gaming area, they will explode and you'll get points for that. And you know those garden claws with the four prongs that you can pull weeds out with? Yep. Yeah, there's one of those as well for taking care of the chickens. And then if that's not going to do it for you, you can hop in the combine and drive around and you know, get some chickens that way. But I think that my favorite is probably the plasma cannon, which shoots what looks like watermelons. And you can lob them at the chickens. And not only do you get direct shots at the chicken, but there is a reverberation, which sends the chicken flying. And then if it, again, happens to run into the side of a building or a tree or the combine or any other solid structure, then that is good night, chicken.
I had a lot of fun with this game. I did actually install it and play it. I drove around in the combine harvester and just plowed up thousands of chickens. And yeah, there was blood everywhere and feathers, and it was fantastic. I loved it.
It's good. It's fun. It's so much fun.
It's a lot of fun.
The first review on here, though, by Finn Mertens, which was just a couple days ago on August 26th, didn't really care for it as much. So they proceed to say, what a terrible game. Not only is the design incredibly cheap and nasty looking, but the entire idea is disturbing. I'm not sure how killing chickens by running over them with a combine harvester is supposed to be fun. To me, that just screams psychopath, game or not. So, I mean, if that doesn't make you want to play it, then I don't know what will.
Yeah, that's just makes me want to play it more. I had trouble with getting the golf club, though. I couldn't, I think it's because it's accelerometer based. I couldn't get to the golf club to pick it up to use it against the chickens, and I kept getting splattered with eggs. So I just went back to the combine house and ran them over again.
Yes, that is. So they're not defenseless chickens. They will fight back by throwing eggs. So if there's any PETA people, you know, they're not defenseless. It's basically the chicken or you, and you got to make that choice. But I do have a request. If anybody that's listening has played the official Scrabble Android app, my friend Ivor and I have been trying to sort out how to play this game. And I mean, I think we both understand the concept of Scrabble and you know, most of the rules to Scrabble, but the actual implementation of the game itself, You either have to sign in with Facebook or EA Sports, and we both signed in with EA Sports, but there's no way to friend each other. Blah, 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 blah. Long story short, if anybody knows how to do this.
Yeah, and the same thing happened with, well, almost the same thing happened with Words with Friends. You have to send a request for a Words with Friends or Zynga ID, that's right. And they're supposed to email you a Zynga ID. Well, I never got an email back, and it's not in my junk folder or anything like that. So, Words with Friends didn't work out either. So, if anyone has any ideas on how we can play Scrabble, we much appreciate it.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to start a game of Scrabble, I mean, just because Ivor is reading The Economist and watching documentaries, he's not the only one that's willing to do some intellectual gaming. But, you know, if it comes down to it, I'm taking out the...
We might have to switch to chess. We might have to switch to chess, Josh.
When it comes down to it, though, Ivor, I'm going to be destroying chickens.
Mm. Is there a co-op mode on the chicken game?
Oh, destroy that would be together. Fantastic. I know that the developer is a single developer, just one person, but maybe we should get in touch with him if that would be something you'd be interested in. Although, I mean, that adds a whole new layer of complexity to development.
Okay. Well, I think that's about my tank has been emptied now. I don't have any more apps.
You have any final words?
I have a final word. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Dor for abandoning us halfway through the podcast. And Josh, I think you've done a fantastic job of carrying the show, even though you had the burden of me to deal with. And thanks to everybody for putting up with us.
I agree. Ditto. Reach out and touch us. No, that doesn't sound right. Reach out and
reach out and
contact us and join Patreon, all that good stuff. But at least send an email. Let us know you're out there. Make sure that our voices aren't just echoing through the ether. AAA@podnuts.com. And you bring it, we'll bring it.
And don't forget the Reddit, the subreddit for Podnuts.
And the subreddit. So I'm gonna try to do my best Dor impersonation here. The apps for this show were Rugby World Cup 2019 by World Rugby, Make Hexa Puzzle by Bit Mango, I like that name too, Over the Bridge Pro by Little Big Play, Bifox by RWTH Aachen University, Autoboy Dashcam Black Box by Happy Cons, Economist Films by The Economist Newspaper Limited, Video Compressor Panda, Resize and Compress Video by Farlunar Apps and Games, and Chicken Tournament by Sasha Lusiak. I think that covers it, Ivor. Again, Dor's not here, so maybe we just say, everybody, enjoy yourselves, enjoy life. It's short and can be fun.
Right on, man. And don't forget to listen to ABBA.
That's right. So I think we're done, and now Dor's not here. What do we do, Ivor?
I just asked Dor in the chat if he was going to cancel the live stream, because I think he's still watching on the chat.
He'll come back to us.
Dor!
What? I have this sneaking suspicion he's actually done this on purpose.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.